The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Most relevant, most timely, I think, given with all the fires and just north of us, I think the practice of compassion for all the people who are hurting just seems most appropriate. So that's what I wanted to offer. And just to say that all the practices of the Brahma Viharas, all of them, including compassion, they are supposed to feel good and make you happy. They're not supposed to make you depressed or make you overcome with empathetic distress or grief. So if that is happening, actually, it means we're not doing the practice correctly. And it can happen, and it's okay, it's not a problem. So I'd like to spend a few minutes describing what the practice of compassion actually is before I lead a guided meditation to it. And actually, even before I do that, I want to ask, how many people are new to Happy Hour, are here for the first time? Yay, bunch of people, great. Okay, so it's good if I describe to you what it is that we're doing. So I'll describe what the practice is so that we know what we're going to be doing. And then I'll lead a guided meditation for about half hour, so there's a good amount of time for actually practicing and experiencing. And then afterwards we'll have a period of discussion and QA. So the practice I'd like to offer tonight, practice of compassion, actually is a practice that comes from Tibetan tradition, is Tonglen. And for many reasons I'll describe why it seems appropriate. So what is the practice of compassion? You know, we hear this word bandied about compassion. In this practice, compassion is when our goodwill, our good wishes, our friendliness, just this natural kindness of the heart, meets someone who's having a difficult time. When that kindness of our heart, that natural friendliness, comes across someone who's suffering or having a hard time, our heart both holds the pain, it comes in contact with the pain, and holds it with kindness and suffering. Holds the suffering with kindness and friendliness. If it were only this hand, if it were only coming in contact with the suffering, it would be like, oh, it would be so painful. That's when it could veer into empathetic distress or overwhelm or compassion fatigue. But the way it's balanced is that it's balanced by being held with kindness, warmth, filial feelings. That sense of warmth and ease, that balances both practice for us, and it makes it makes for opening our heart with both feeling the pain and opening, holding it with kindness and friendliness. So does that make sense a little bit? If there are any questions, I'd like to answer them now, and of course I'll lead you through them. Any questions of anyone confused how this might work? Don't be shy. Yeah? What's that? You tend to get stuck in, okay, yeah, great. I'm so glad you brought that up because that often happens. It's not unusual for people to experience that. So this is what I recommend. Notice if you're veering into the overwhelm and pull back a little bit into the stability and veer back into the kindness, into the wishing well, into the warmth. May you be well, may you be free from the suffering, from the kindness, from the gentleness. So you have to kind of balance it, right? Does that make sense? If you get too far, then you're not in touch with the suffering at all. If you get too much into the suffering, then it's too painful for you, then you're bobbing in the waves along with them, and there is no access to that kindness and the goodwill. So it's a bit of a balancing act, and it becomes more natural through practice. So find your way with it and experiment. And I'm so glad you asked, because I think that is helpful. Okay. And by the way, this practice of compassion is supposed to feel good. When you it's, that's why it's part of the Brahma Viharas, the heavenly abodes. When you practice this, you feel like you are living in the realm of the gods, because it feels so good to feel compassion, which is very different from empathic distress. Empathic distress is painful, whereas compassion is feels so good to be caring, to be really caring, holding with love and care the suffering, the pain of others. So, shall we give it a try? Yeah, another question, please. Yeah, yeah. So the question is, it's not clear to you how the kindness, the friendliness, the metta aspect of it really, how that balances the empathic distress. Okay. So by the time you get into empathic distress, it's almost a little too late, right? Empathic distress means there is no metta. But taking one step back with your question, it's really holding the suffering, knowing that someone is in pain, and wishing ease, may you be free, holding it with care and kindness. So that avoids getting into empathic distress. And if you get into empathic distress, then pull back a little bit. Then pull back and experiment. This is like a sandbox, right? Pull back and see, okay, if I go more into the goodwill and kind of get away from, in my mind, from the suffering a little bit and balance it. So does that help a little bit? Okay. All right. So shall we give it a try? Okay. All right. So especially if you're here for the first time, I invite you to get more cushions for your back and your feet and just make yourself comfortable. Because it's best to do this practice sitting comfortably. So either, whether you're sitting in a chair or a cushion, make yourself comfortable. Allow your back to be straight. And imagine that there is a string, there is an invisible string connected to your head, holding you up. So you don't really have to work so hard to hold yourself up. It's done naturally for you. And then relax as much as you possibly can, while allowing your body to have structural integrity, letting the bottom of your feet to be on the floor if you're sitting on a chair. Letting your shoulders roll back a little bit. Letting your hands rest on your lap. And then softening and relaxing the body as much as possible. In fact, we're going to take 3 diaphragmatic breaths together to relax. Letting the breath be breathed into the belly. Breathing in, holding for a moment or two. Ah, softening and letting go, softening the body. One more, letting the breath be breathed in. Ah, softening, relaxing, letting go. And one more time. Ah. Letting the body be as relaxed and soft as possible. When the body is soft and relaxed, the mind too can relax and be soft. Allowing the breath to move in and out on its own into the belly. Realizing that there's nothing you have to do, really. The breath breathes itself. The breath has been breathing itself all these years. Just let it be breathed. And simply notice the coming and going of the breath and the belly, the sensations. Sensations in the belly, or sensations in the chest. Expanding and contracting. For this practice, I invite you to pay attention today, for now, for this session, to the breath in your chest as it comes in and goes out. The breath expanding your chest as if you're breathing from the center of your chest, from your heart center, the proverbial heart center, the center of your chest. Life-giving breath entering and exiting on its own, letting your mind settle. And now I'm going to invite you to bring to mind someone for whom affection, love and care comes for you easily. Might be a friend. Might be a child in your life or pet. An easy target, someone who is ideally alive and with whom you have an uncomplicated relationship. Someone who makes you feel safe, perhaps, maybe a teacher, benefactor, friend. Just choosing someone, bringing an image of them to your mind's eye, as if they were right in front of you. And noticing what comes up for you as you have an image, a felt sense of this being or this person in front of you. A feeling of ease might come up, a feeling of affection or warmth or care or a smile or nothing. It's all okay. Just check in, see what's coming up for you. And from this place, imagine that from the center of your chest, as you're breathing, with every out-breath, you're breathing out care and love, affection, or just simple friendliness or goodwill to this being. And this breath coming out from the center of your chest could be like a light, a bright light that covers them, shines on them and brings them ease, brings them happiness, brings them your good wishes and goodwill. And you're not so much doing this, it is being done. That your heart center, this bright light in the center of your chest. Is a source of goodness, is a source of care, is a source of love, source of goodwill. And effortlessly it shines. Good wishes, care, in the form of light and ease to this person, to this being in front of you. And now we'll add a step. Now imagine that if this person, this being in front of you, if they're having some aspect of difficulty in their life, some aspect that's not going with ease or hasn't gone in the past, imagine that as a cloud or perhaps smoke around them. And as your breath is breathed in to the heart center, this center of goodness, this place that is alive with a life, with a light, with a bright light of goodwill. The difficulty gets breathed in, this smoke, this haze, cloud, gets breathed in and gets transformed. This heart center of yours has the power to transform difficulty, suffering, unease, pain, into a bright light of ease, goodness, good wishes, happiness. And it, as it's being breathed back out, it covers, it engulfs, it showers this being with goodness. So in this way, the difficulty, the pain, the sorrow, suffering gets transformed into goodness, goodwill, friendliness, breathing in, the cloud, the smoke, breathing out light, clarity, ease. And again, you're not so much doing it yourself, it's being done. Your heart center, it's a powerful transformer, generator. Change maker. It's bright with goodness, with goodwill. And seeing this person you care about receive, seeing them receive this bright light of ease, friendliness, goodwill, wishes for their well-being and happiness. And if it helps, you can also add silently with each breath, may you be happy. May you be well. May you be free from suffering. May you have ease. You can say any of these sentences or something that works for you, or a combination of them. Letting your body be soft and relaxed as the breath moves in and out on its own. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you have ease. May you be free from suffering. May you be free from sorrow. May you be well. Now I'm going to invite you to bring to mind an image, a felt sense of someone perhaps you know, who's been affected by the fires in Northern California. And if you don't personally know someone, perhaps someone you've heard in the news who've been going through loss and sadness and sorrow, or a hypothetical person, one of the very many people who've been affected by the fires, have lost their home, and right now are in distress, feeling a lot of difficulty, stress, uncertainty about the future. Bringing them to mind and allowing there to be stability in your heart and mind. And continuing the practice, allowing the difficulty, the sorrow, the sadness, the loss, to be breathed in and transformed into goodwill, into ease, into light. The smoke, the haze representing the difficulty, automatically breathed in. And in this powerful generator, powerful transformer that is your heart, alive, ablaze with goodwill and goodness, full of goodness, universal goodness, kindness, goodwill, transforming with every breath, with each breath, transforming the sadness, the suffering, to bright light of healing, ease, as it's breathed out on its own. And if the practice at any point seems overwhelming or too much, take a step back, let go of the image. Just go back to your regular breathing, stabilizing yourself. Or perhaps going to your dear friend, to your benefactor, with whom you were practicing earlier. You have a lot of options. And if and when there is stability and you want to try becoming more in touch with suffering, you can try that on again for a few breaths. Feel free to experiment. And you could be saying, may you be happy, may you be safe. May you have ease, may you find ease. May you be free from sorrow and suffering. Or maybe I care about your suffering. I care about your suffering. Offering your full presence, being embodied, being rooted in your body, stable, present, soft and relaxed. And allowing each natural in-breath and out-breath to be an agent of goodwill, soothing and calm. You're not so much doing this practice, but witnessing it in your heart being done. A sort of non-doing doing. Relaxing into the goodwill of your heart. Universal compassion, which resides in your heart. Let the breath be natural. It doesn't need to be deep or any different than it wants to be. And if it helps to stay connected, please do recite sentences. May you be safe. May you have ease. With every out-breath, may you be free from sorrow. May you be free from confusion. May your suffering be eased. May your pain be eased. May you have safety. May you have ease. May you be free from sorrow. May your suffering ease. Allowing the smoke, the cloud, the haze of suffering around this person, around this being, be breathed in by the natural breath into the heart center, the center of compassion, where there is a bright light. And it's transformed into a healing light, to clarity, and breathed naturally out back onto this person, bringing them ease and goodwill, happiness, kindness, friendliness. So what we usually do after the guided meditation is to break into small groups of three and have just a brief check-in conversation about how that was, what happened, what didn't happen, and anything is fine. I fell asleep the whole time. It was the most boring thing. That's okay too. It's perfectly fine. It's just a way to create community and to check in. So given that our numbers are a little odd, I'm going to suggest, the three of you, one group, the three of you, one group, you sitting on the floor with you and you, you one group, and the two of you come up and we'll be one group, we'll check in together. So that'll be divisible by three, and we'll just take a few minutes. So great. So it's time for questions or comments. How was this practice for you? What worked, what didn't? Any questions? Lots of questions. And we have limited time, so don't be shy. Jump in. Yeah, wait for the mic and hold it close, please.
So
yeah.
I have a question.
Is it on? Wait, hold on. Oh, it's probably... Try again.
So question.
Yeah.
During the inhaling the dark, exhaling the light.
Yeah.
At first, it felt there wasn't much change, but then maybe halfway in the exercise, I noticed the heart feeling heavier. And so I tried to control it a little, or like basically observe it and keep it in check.
Uh-huh.
Is that normal, basically, that it progresses as you go along? And at what point would you usually like stop to go like far enough, but not too far?
Yeah, so let me ask you a question. So you said halfway through, you felt the heart was getting heavier. In what way? Tell me what you mean by that.
It felt like I'm absorbing some of the dark.
Ah, okay. So here's the thing. So it's this is something that can come up with this practice, that people sometimes think, oh, I'm absorbing it. I don't want to breathe this thing, and it's going to my body, and it's awful, and it's terrible, and it's all that. Yeah, that does come up with this practice, and yeah, that's it's actually. First of all, it's a visualization. You're not really breathing in smoke. And the second thing is that when one manages to put down that belief that it is getting absorbed and it's bad for me, and really gets to sense that it's being done, and this heart center, this heart is so powerful, is like. I mean, when I do the practice, I kind of see my heart as a one of these old stoves, like has the fire of like. So when this thing comes, it just gets transformed. It's not me. It's not mine. It just happens. It's, you know, this is so powerful that like no smoke can survive. It's not personal. Does that help? So in that way, there's no accumulation. In fact, just to share from my practice when I was just doing it with you guys, because I've done this for a while, so I have practice with this, obviously. There was this sense of calm. There was this sense of peace. There's a sense of ease that was happening throughout my body, and a sense of that I'm doing something with this natural breath. Ease and healing and peace is being generated, and I'm not doing it. It's just being done. Does that help a little bit? Yeah. And thanks so much for bringing it up, because we have to experience all these different ways that kind of doesn't feel right in order to go a little left, a little right, in order for it to kind of straighten out. So next time you try it, see what happens. Thank you. What are the comments or questions? It was a bomb. It was terrible. I hated it. It's all okay. Bring it on. If you don't ask the questions, you won't learn. Yeah.
I think I can just talk.
No, it would be wonderful because it is recorded.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was a bomb. It was terrible. It was, no.
Okay. It's all good. Not
no,
a problem.
It wasn't. So our discussion was really helpful. About how not to fall, how to stay stable and
yeah.
grounded and stuff.
Great.
What I've noticed though is it's a challenge
yeah.
in general, not yeah. just not tonight, but
yeah.
is if whatever's going on that's like the fire that's traumatic
yeah.
or something.
Yeah.
If it has a similarity to some problem
yeah.
I've got,
yeah.
then doing what you're talking about is really, if it's a different thing,
mm-hmm.
and I can have empathy and all that, I can, you know, to ground is okay, but it's not touching something that's
yes. Yes.
already kind of messed up.
Yes.
But
yes.
If it's something close to it.
Yes.
Like somebody dies and somebody in the past has died and it's been then it's a much bigger challenge to try and stay without falling into that other place.
That's a very astute observation about human nature. We're all like that. So when that happens for you or for anyone, then at that point the practice becomes a practice of self-compassion. Because at that point your old feelings are triggered at that point, that this, your own suffering is triggered. So turning it back to yourself and holding yourself with care and compassion and love. Okay. Becomes self-care.
Yeah. So do that first, and then you would be more available to do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Great question. Glad it was recorded. Next, what else? What else? Comments, questions, anything? What worked, what didn't?
Thank you. That was a beautiful practice. One of the things I was reflecting on with the group was that I find that metta and Tonglen, this very powerful practice, and one of the areas where I am building is bringing an extended practice. I find that I often just save a few minutes at the end of more vipassana, open awareness, concentration practice, and I have more difficulty in extending the compassion practice and making it longer.
Mm-hmm.
And so how to know when to reground and return to the vipassana, that grounded practice in, the open present.
So let me ask you a question. So what happens for you? So if you have enough time, for example, it's not that you're just leaving the last 5 minutes, but let's say you start with compassion practice or Brahma Viharas. What makes you switch? What comes up and you decide to switch?
I sometimes notice the mind becomes more diffused. It's difficult to concentrate on the visualization, perhaps because it's not as grounded in the present body.
I see.
So I find that my mind becomes just sort of wandering in any one particular direction, but more diffused and less concentrated.
Yeah. So me today we practice Tonglen, and this is rather unusual. So do you practice Tonglen, or do you do the classical Brahma Vihar, or the, may you be safe, may you be happy?
More the latter, but I have had experience practicing Tonglen.
Got it. So this is what I would suggest for you, and also for everyone who finds, the mind gets diffused. So that's why... So these practices are like three-ring circuses, because there's a lot that you bring in order to keep you tethered. So with the Tonglen, for example, we have the breath. The breath is keeping us tethered in the body. The sensation of it is so, for me, is quite profound. I mean, that's what's really keeping me tethered right here. Similarly, when you're doing just metta practice, loving kindness, connect the phrases, may you be safe, may you be happy, may you be well, connected with the rhythm of the breath. And the phrases themselves can be a thread, as well as every now and then you are supposed to refresh the visualization. You have to, otherwise it will fade. And it's like, what do they do? So it's not like you set it and you're ready to go for the next 10 minutes. No, you do have to refresh every whatever for you. Just check in. So yeah, it's completely natural.
Thank you.
You're welcome. What else? Time for one more comment or question. I see your hand move, Erica. Yes.
I guess for me, in my non-Buddhist experiences of compassion, I equate the most authentic feeling of compassion with when I'm feeling the pain and crying with the person. And so it feels a little odd to try and feel authentic or like I'm really being compassionate and find that balance of goodwill and kind of not falling in the hole.
Right, so. Right. Great.
Maybe it takes practice.
Yes. I am so glad you brought that up because we had that discussion in our group, which was great. And see, it's interesting because the word compassion, that's what we often think, that when we're in it and we're falling into it and we're crying with that person, we're feeling their pain, that's compassion. So with Buddhist practice, and actually that is empathy and empathetic distress, that we mistake, and before my training, that's what I thought compassion was too. I'm being compassionate, I'm being right there with them. But actually empathy is an aspect of compassion, but not the entire compassion. So what is empathy? Empathy is when you resonate with another person's pain. So the mirror neurons are firing, somebody's in pain, and you are feeling their pain. That is empathy. But compassion is, well, compassion practice is empathy. You are empathizing, plus you bring care and goodwill to that and holding it. So the example that I gave in our little group when we were discussing was, so if I, for example, if I think of people that I know right now up north who've been affected and thinking, this would be an example of empathetic distress, empathic distress. Oh, this must be so hard for you. I'm just, oh gosh, oh, I can't believe you just, oh, oh. That's empathic distress, right? I'm only feeling the pain of them, and I'm kind of like, kind of hurting myself. It feels as if, oh, if I fall in with them and feel pain as if they're benefiting somehow, no one is. So I'm going to try to act out what compassion is like. Oh, this must be so hard for you. May you be free from this pain. Oh, to pack your car, to be running in the middle of the night. I care for you. I hold you. That is painful. I'm so sorry, and I care for you. You see, there is some balance. I'm still feeling their pain, but there is more. Is balance with the care. Do you hear that? Do you feel that?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not, tell me. I'll try to act out again. But if, yeah.
No, I do, see, and I just got this. I guess a realization that when I'm feeling that with them, I'm choosing to feel it. I'm not in the situation they're in. I'm choosing to feel it with them. And so I also have, from my position of comparative stability, the choice to feel the goodwill and the stability and the kindness, right? So it's, I don't know, I haven't quite viewed it that way. So maybe that can work,
Yeah, it's actually, and if you're present with someone, I mean, this is when I'm thinking about them, but especially try this out when you're present with someone. Because sometimes I've had instances where I've been in pain and the person fell into it and it feel like I had to comfort them and they were of no use to me. It was just kind of like, wait a minute, this is my pain now. It just didn't quite feel, but I've also been in situations where I've been in pain and the other person is both soothing me. I feel they're feeling their pain, but they're soothing me. I feel their care. I feel their love. I feel their affection, and I feel they're stable, so I can be in my experience. And it's a much more wholesome, more productive way of offering compassion.
Thank you. That was very helpful.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for bringing that up. I knew you had something in there. Awesome. Great. Well, thank you so much for being here and practicing. Together, practicing compassion during happy hour. And this practice does make you happy. I mean, makes you calm. There's a lot of soothing that we can offer ourselves and offer other people if we are in their presence. And this practice of Tonglen, especially, I've heard of people who've been, say, with people who are in great distress or dying on their deathbed, and the only thing you can do is just to breathe with them. So... Great. Thank you all. Thank you.